As was mentioned on the sermon on the first holy day, this year is a little bit unique in terms of how the holy days fall. This year, it happens occasionally, about every 5 or 6 years, I believe. I didn't look it up. But the days fall exactly the same on the Gregorian calendar, the Hebrew calendar, as when Christ was sacrificed, when the Passover occurs and when the holy days begin. So it would be appropriate to talk about a very important topic that I think most of us know, but it's always good to hear again. So today we're going to examine a ceremony most of the world has never heard of, or if they've heard of it, they really don't know what it means. Yet, this ceremony is extremely essential within the plan of God's salvation for our mankind, humankind. And it connects the Passover to unleavened bread, and it connects it to Pentecost. And without understanding this ceremony, we don't have the full meaning of what Pentecost, Passover, and unleavened bread connects to each other. So let's start by recapping what we've just observed. Passover. We just concluded observing Passover last week, where we had the Passover service and foot washing ceremony, and then we had the first day of unleavened bread. As just a reminder, not that we need a reminder, but it's always good, Passover is an annual reminder of Christ's sacrifice. And it pictures, through the symbols of unleavened bread and wine, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And wine represents Christ's blood that cleanses us from sin, and unleavened bread represents his broken body that saves our lives, that we can be healed from, as we heard about. So next, the 7 days of unleavened bread shows our response and direction after Passover. So what does the days of unleavened bread, just as a reminder to all of us, unleavened bread pictures putting sin out of your life, which is represented by leavened bread, and also pictures putting unleavened bread into your life, that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. As he said, I am the bread of life. As he said in the Passover, partake of my body, which is bread, which encourages us to embrace living our life the way that he lived his life. Obviously, we're not perfect, as he was, but through his sacrifice, he gives us the opportunity to do the best we can, and upon repentance, we're forgiven, and we strive. It's a journey, as all of us know. And it also, unleavened bread shows us how to live by God's just law, the perfect law, both physically and by the spiritual intent of it. Following the Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures Pentecost, which is the giving of the Holy Spirit and the founding of the church. So let's read about this ceremony that we're talking about. As most of you already guessed, we're talking about the wave sheaf ceremony. So turn with me to Leviticus 23, and we're going to read verses 9 through 14. Leviticus 23. Starting in verse 10, I said 9, let's start in verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, and reap of its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will wave it. Verse 12, you shall offer it on that day, when you have waved the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. 13. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. 14. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until that same day that you have brought the offering to your God, And it be and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. So from reading this scripture here, a statute that shall be throughout your entire generations forever. That doesn't sound like something that was done away with. Obviously, it's important to God, even though it's not a biblical festival per se, in terms of Holy Day, it's a very important symbol that meant to teach us a lesson that parallels the life of Christ and how he was offered as a sacrifice, as our sacrifice, and presented to the Father, and the Father accepted that sacrifice. Many translations will label this the Feast of First Fruits, the wave sheaf offering, or the celebration of the first harvest. Note, these are translator notes. The term of the ceremony is not mentioned specifically in the text. It's what the translators, taking it from the context, what they believe it to be. And for the most part, I believe they are right. Today, we'll focus on the significance of the symbols of the wave sheaf and how it foretold Christ's ascension and acceptance and the next step of God's plan of salvation for mankind. The title of this sermonette is The Wave Sheaf Offering, Unknown by the World, Essential for the Salvation of Mankind. As we mentioned in the introduction, the world largely ignores this ceremony. Yet, without this ceremony and what it pictures, salvation is not possible. There would be no Holy Spirit access to mankind. There would not be a church established. There would be no future harvest of mankind. This is why the wave sheaf offering is essential to God's plan. Let's look again at this passage I just briefly read in a more modern, clear translation. I think it doesn't really add a lot to it. It clarifies it a little bit. So starting in verse 10, when you enter the land I am giving to you, and I'm quoting from the New Living Translation, when you enter the land that I am giving you, and you harvest its first crops, bring the priest and a bundle of grain from the first cutting of the grain of your grain harvest. On that day, after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord so it may be accepted on your behalf. On that same day, you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord. Sounds familiar? 13. With it, you must present a grain offering consisting of 4 quarts of choice moistened flour, or fine flour, with olive oil. It will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma for the Lord. You must also offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until you bring this offering to your God. We're going to walk through the symbols of the ceremony, but one thing to note, especially this year, is the timing. So this was offered the Sabbath between the two holy days and was right after sunset. And what happened after sunset? The priest would go out and cut the grain. Then overnight, they would dry it out. They would process it with the fine flour. And when they beat the fine flour, they didn't do it with like stones like they traditionally do. They had to use grass and reeds and stuff like that. So they processed it without breaking it. The whole idea was to make it fine but not break the grain. And they continued processing it. And then the next morning, that is when the wave sheaf was actually offered as commanded, as we read in the text. So, with that little bit of background, let's walk through the symbols. So, in verse 12, we read, on the same day you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defects as a burnt offering. This pictures, as we saw in the Passover, a lamb without blemish. It pictures Jesus Christ. He was offered as a sacrifice on our behalf. to take away the sins of the world, an offering made by fire. And we saw that offering as we read through the Gospels of his torment through the long torment of the crucifixion and the killing. Notice the wave sheaf ceremony reinforces that he is an acceptable sacrifice. So as the Passover pictures, this adds to that. It doesn't replace the Passover, obviously, but it adds to the importance and why this offering was so important. So next we'll look at the grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil. Verse 13, an offering consisting of 4 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil. Fine flour, as we talked, is wheat beaten, but especially in this case, they did it with grass and other like things so it wouldn't be broken. And pictures what Jesus went through on our behalf to become perfected. Moving on to the oil. Oil symbolizes the Spirit of God throughout the entire Bible. And I like in the New King James Version, the Old King James, it talks about olive oil, where a lot of the modern translations just say oil, but I think olive oil is more appropriate. Then we mix this stuff together. The flour is mixed with the oil. Then we have the drink offering or the wine offering. Verse 13, you must also offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Obviously, the wine represents the blood of Jesus Christ, the cleansing blood, and it's poured out on our behalf as payment of sin, which is symbolized in the Passover ceremony. One thing that I noticed, the human body contains about between, I believe I read, 5 to 6 quarts of blood. In this offering, we had 4 quarts of fine flour with oil, and then we had 1 quart of wine or blood that represented blood. I think it's interesting, nothing behind it, just interesting to me, is this offering is pretty close to what the human body would have in terms of liquid. So now let's connect this ceremony of the Passover, unleavened bread, and Pentecost. The wave sheaf was offered and accepted by God before the harvest could begin. So this offering had to happen before the harvest could begin. If you take that to what it actually, to what it symbolizes, as we heard last Holy Day, that Christ was risen just before sunset, just as the Sabbath concluded. And Mary saw him, and she went to hug him, but she could not, but he said, don't hug me, as since I have not ascended to the Father. So about the time that the offering, the wave sheaf offering was occurring, Christ was ascending to the Father to be accepted on our behalf as a spiritual sacrifice, as an acceptable sacrifice. There is no human that ever lived that could meet that qualification or meet that standard. Only Christ, who lived a perfect life, who died on our behalf, died for no reason without having to pay the penalty, but he paid the penalty. And we saw that he died just right around sunset. That's when they're cutting, right after sunset, they're cutting the grain. Then throughout the night, they're preparing the grain, and then they give the offerings just before daylight and Sunday morning. And that's when Christ ascended into the third heaven, we presume, and was accepted by the Father as an acceptable offering. So we can see that this offering is extremely important in terms of it, how it foretold the sacrifice of Christ, but how it connects his very death to the Father, being accepted by the Father, so the general harvest can begin. That's you and me, brethren. Do we live accordingly? Paul summarizes the meaning of this perfectly. Christ is the first fruit. Obviously, he is the first fruit that came, and we will be part of the first fruits if we follow what we need to be following. Are we keeping a close relationship with God? Are we loving man as we love ourselves? Are we loving man as we love God? Only you and I can answer that question. But in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read verses 20 through 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. So those are that are died in Christ, but Christ risen from the dead. For since by man came death, but by man came the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for all as in Adam, in other words, all deceived mankind, and that includes us, die. But so in Christ, because of his sacrifice and what the wave sheaf offering shows us, all shall be made alive. So let's summarize this. The Passover pictures Christ's sacrifice. Unleavened bread pictures us putting sin out on our life and putting God and Jesus Christ into unleavened bread into our life. The wave sheaf pictures Christ being accepted by the Father as our high priest. And then we didn't read it, but then it says start counting seven sevens. We start the countdown to Pentecost. And what do we have on Pentecost? We have the giving of the Holy Spirit. We have the beginning of the church. It's all connected. None of this is by chance. This was designed before the earth was even created and man was created. God has such an incredible vision. So let's close by reviewing the importance of the wave sheaf. While the wave sheaf offering itself is not a commanded holy day, it is essential for understanding God's plan of salvation. We are reconciled by Christ's death, saved by his perfectly lived life. Without the true wave sheaf, Jesus Christ, there would be no Holy Spirit, no church to nurture us, and no coming harvest to humanity. One final last thought. Christ accepted. Then the harvest begins.